Lord, open our hearts. Let us hear, let us remember, let us know what you did at the cross and in your resurrection. Speak to us each now, firstly. In Jesus' precious name. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciples, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. He said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. She did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, you have carried him away. Tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Good to see everyone still alive, energized. Today we find ourselves on what's called Easter Sunday. Easter, what an interesting holiday, hasn't it? Filled with Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. Time for the family to get together and have a meal. Enjoy the time together. I mean, you can barely remember why we celebrate Easter anymore. Just another holiday, isn't it? Another tradition, another public holiday comes and goes. How important could it be? So here's my question to you. How important is the resurrection? Now, if you don't have an answer yet, don't worry. So I've invited a very special guest to come talk to us about the resurrection. He's something of an expert. We have a round of applause for our author of the letter to the Corinthians, good friend Paul. Unfortunately, Paul wasn't able to make it in person today, but his words have arrived safe and sound. And so we'll go through them. And while Paul, at the time, was writing to the church in Corinth about 2,000 years ago, in fact, his audience is all of us here today as well. You see, the audience Paul was really writing to is everyone who needs a reminder. A reminder, you say? That's right. So if any of you have ever forgotten anything in your life, This message is for you. Paul is in fact reminding his audience about a very specific message. And let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. It's time for a reminder. A reminder about this message. You've heard this message before and you believe it, Paul says. What is this message? And what's so important about it? He says, it is by this message you are saved if you hold on to it. Keep following this message. Just what is this wonderful, life-saving message? It's the gospel message. The good news message. And here it is. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Now, I hope you haven't forgotten. Simply, clear, a reminder. Just what is the good news? This. That Jesus Christ, the Savior, died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Those who are quick to forget, here it is, a reminder. This is what you believe. The good news by which you are saved. Now here you'll tell me, hey, how could anyone possibly forget this message? It's as simple and as clear as day. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he rose on the third day. Yeah. Look at all the Easter celebrations. And the chocolates and the bunnies and the colorful celebrations. And you realize this simple gospel message in this day and age is all but hidden away. Paul speaks in particular to those who have heard and believed this message before. Don't be distracted. Don't forget. The church Paul was writing to had its own big problems. There were whispers beginning to form from within. Paul, we hear your message. We believed it, Paul. You told us all about the simple and clear gospel message. But the resurrection of the dead? How could we possibly believe that? Maybe we can believe all the other stuff, but this, no, this is too much. Just a fairy tale. A story someone else made up. Isn't it fascinating? 2,000 years later, and we hear the same thing said to us today. Just a fairy tale. Just a story that someone made up. Just another story. Jesus rose from the grave? You expect me to believe that? Enough of this nonsense. Let's get on with Easter. This is a fun Easter where we get to celebrate and enjoy the time with family. Why would we ever need to believe this stuff that you're telling me about? Sure, Jesus said some nice things and was a good guy, but rising from the grave, it's laughable. Give me a break. All of a sudden, that simple gospel message becomes difficult to hold when the whole world is against you. Distracting you, mocking you, ignoring you. That simple message, life-saving message, becomes so difficult to remember. To you, Paul gives this reminder. This is what you believe. This will save your life forever. People laugh, people mock. Jesus rose from the grave. Absolutely. Hold on. Like your life depends on that. Because it literally does. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life, only we are of all people most to be pitied. Here it is. All or nothing. All the chips on the table. If Christ has not risen, you have nothing. What's worse? You've lost everything. Everyone who has died, die forever. Everyone who lives shall be punished and judged for every sin they've ever committed. And the wrath of God will consume them like a raging fire. All that evil means empty, nothing, meaningless. There is no hope ahead. We are most to be pitied. Look at those poor Christians. All that they're believing is worthless. Are the stakes high enough yet? Hold on. Don't let go. It's all or nothing. The resurrection. Just why is it so important? What does it actually mean? How important is this message? And is it possible, just possible, that it's even bigger, even more important than you currently think right now? So just what is the resurrection? To really understand just what we're going to be talking about here, we're going to employ the dark arts, maths and science. Everyone's paying attention. Everyone loves stats, don't they? Everyone is in fact a scientist and a mathematician. Do you believe that? I mean, not everyone studied science at uni, but it doesn't require a university degree to do some basic science and statistics. All we need is the right experiment. Here's our experiment, humans. We want to study humans. Now, do we have enough data, enough information? Here's a good statistics word. You know what a sample is? Do we have a good sample? First, can we find and gather enough information about humans and use it? Well, look around you. Plenty of people here, plenty of people out there, and plenty of people who have existed throughout all of history. Humans, pretty easy to find. Check it. We got that. Second, do we have a big enough sample of humans? Basically, you can test something once and get a result, but that doesn't mean you'll always get that result, right? You flip a coin once, doesn't mean if it lands on tails, but it will always land on tails. In fact, you'll realize pretty quickly, if you keep flipping that coin enough, that there's a 50-50 chance that you'll get heads or tails. So you want a really big sample. Let's try it. Billions and billions and billions of humans who have ever walked the earth. It's pretty good. I think that's a big enough sample. So what's our experiment? Just what are we testing? Our test is simply this. What happens to humans at the end of their life? You know, the beauty of this test, it's really simple. It's really easy. You simply go from one person to the next, all through history, one after the other, and you ask, what happens? And we all die. And the experiment is so simple. It's quite easy to be a scientist. You don't need to be a trained professional to tell the result of this experiment. No matter what they do, no matter how hard they try, all humans return to dust. This experiment is far from a new experiment. In fact, basically everyone at some point does this experiment without even realizing. Because everyone knows that this is true. It's no surprise that death comes for us all. Because everyone knows. Everyone knows. All those people from the past, all those people you read about in the history books, they're all dead. There's no escape. There's no new surprising discovery that we're finding here. It's the deep, dark secret of humanity that everyone tries to hide. Wait. Hold on. I think there's something wrong with our sample. Must be a malfunction or something. We've gotten billions and billions of results that all read the same. Dead. So what's going on? Something's wrong with our reading. One name has popped up that reads alive. Why does this one say alive? Just one. Billions upon billions with dead stamped over their names. Just one is alive. Why is the resurrection important? Because it breaks the rule. The most certain painful, unstoppable rule. Jesus' resurrection is astonishing because humans die. They all die. Except one. We know why the resurrection is astonishing. We know why it's important. It's because Jesus is alive. Alive. A completely normal and inconsequential word, perhaps, when you just use it in everyday life. You might use it today. There's no more meaning than any other word. But put that word alive next to billions upon billions upon billions of dead, and you can't ignore it. It stands out like the sun. That light, the sun, is blinding. And to others, it's everything. Hold on. Hold on to this. Jesus broke our science test. Our sample told us everyone dies. Alive. Jesus is alive. But wait, there's more. Here's why the resurrection is way bigger than you ever thought. Again. Because Paul doesn't just stop when he says Christ has been raised. He continues. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Christ has been raised, but that's just the beginning. Because Christ's resurrection is the first fruits of those fallen asleep. The first fruits actually mean exactly what we think it means. The first fruit that appears at the start of the harvest. Imagine a whole vineyard filled with green, leaves, green leaves, as far as you can imagine. And you're waiting, and you're waiting. And just one, finally, the first fruit of the season appears. And as you look out on that field of green, you realize very quickly that it's the first, but it's not going to be the last. Christ, the first fruits, and then at his coming, all who belong to Christ, all who belong to Christ, are stamped with a promise that they shall follow in the footsteps of Christ himself. This is why the resurrection is even bigger than you thought, because it's not just Christ who is raised. Through Christ, all who belong to him will be raised as well. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. For Adam, the curse of death is a guarantee. Every man that followed suffered the same fate, death after death after death. Through Christ, all shall be made alive. And this life we are given is not our own. It is the life not in the line of Adam, it is life in the line of Christ. Eternal, glorious, unending. Hold on to this. Through Christ, all creation turn upside down, the first fruits of the full harvest to come. In Christ alone, because he is risen, we can share that life as well. Hold on to it. But wait, there's more. Here's why the resurrection is even bigger than you think. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. Jesus isn't just alive. He's alive forever. For us, the promise of death hangs around, hovers around us. A fly that we can't seem to catch. A mosquito that just keeps buzzing. and he can't seem to see. No matter how much we swing and swipe and swat, it just never goes away. The buzzing keeps getting louder and louder and louder. Death is not just defeated, it is crushed forever, destroyed. Jesus isn't just alive. He crushes that curse, that death that's looming, just waits, hovering around him. Sin that he's hiding, that's hiding there, he crushes it, and he turns it, he transforms it. The promise of the curse of death to abundant, eternal life. To who else could we possibly bring our doubts? To who else could we possibly bring our sin? Forgiveness can only ever be through the one who conquered sin and death. Bring it to him. Trust in the only one who forgives, in the only one who provides. Paul talks in detail about the fate of death, just what awaits this great curse that has plagued every man who has ever lived, and every man on earth has ever suffered. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, when the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory is in Jesus Christ. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? This is why the resurrection is way bigger than you thought. Because the resurrection isn't just Jesus. It's for every single one of us. He doesn't just win one victory. He wins every victory. And he wins it forever. Alive. Forever. Hold on to this. This is a simple gospel message. A reminder. Hold fast to this message. Be very careful. A lot. The Corinthians heard this message. And in a matter of years, they were already beginning to forget. Don't let that happen to you. It's too valuable to let go. What has happened? And you will say to me, if all of this is true, what does it actually look like for us now? Are we meant to, like, just wait until Christ arrives? Until we're raised from the dead? What does that actually mean for us now? The final astonishing thing about the resurrection is that it starts now. Here on earth. Today. The resurrection life is not our life made greater or bigger or larger or better than the life we're currently living. It's Christ's life come to take residence, set up shop in us. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. For those who have chosen this life, for those who have chosen to follow Jesus, for those who have chosen not to try to save their own life, but lose it to follow Jesus, a new life has been planted. The Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God has chosen to dwell in you. For us now, our bodies are still temporary and physical, of course. We look around and no one looks like a resurrected being. What changes instead is within. What does this look like? The answer is simple. If the life is not your own, if you are not your own, then it must look like what's left behind, what the rest of it is. The life of the Spirit. If you take away all that's you, what must be left is the life of the Spirit, the life of Jesus. That's what a resurrected life looks like. Help it grow. Let it grow. You'll see the truths, the rewards, in this life. They're not from you. It's not something you learned. Jesus' life planted deep within you. And you fruit. I'm talking this year about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And just what each of the fruit mean. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a beautiful picture. Because none of it is your own. It's all from the life that is within you. A tree is known by its fruit. An apple tree only bears apples. An orange tree oranges. A fig tree figs. And the fruit of the Spirit? That can only be the fruit of the Spirit of God in you. The resurrection life is not just a promise of a life to come. It's the promise of a life that starts now. And you'll know it because only a tree filled with this life can bear this kind of fruit. That's how you know you have it. It starts now. Now. Hold fast. Don't let go. Hold fast to this message. Hold fast to this life. See just what victory Christ has won for you. See why the resurrection is so much more important than you could have ever believed. Hold on to this life. He is risen. And you are risen with him. United in his resurrection. The resurrection is more than just a man come back to life. It's more than just a life shared with us. It's more than just a life that lasts into eternity for all who believe. It's all these things, and it starts now, here on earth. Can you believe it? A path has been carved for sin and death. Death at the cross, leading to life forever. Why wait? How could we wait? Every good thing given, every answer provided, cross. Every sin forgiven and death conquered and through the cross and through our resurrected Lord. There's a reason to live different. Jesus has changed the course of history. He has changed the past, the present, and the future. And he'll change you if you let him. To the one who thinks they don't need to change, go out into the park and just shout out into the world. Look up at the sky or the stars and say, I am perfect. Say it. Say it honestly. Try to say it honestly. See if you believe yourself. Or if you find yourself to be lying. To the one who doesn't think they need change, who doesn't think they need this, they're the first to go to the grave. Because they don't even know what they lost. They don't even know what they're missing. I think they mean on their own. It's only life at the cross. You can change the word that floats around you, that curse of death that hovers around every man. It crushes it, changes the course of history. It changes your life from a small brief candle, a breath of wind, into rich, overflowing, unending life. The those who say, perhaps, I'm happy now. What is there to change and satisfy? I have no worries. I have no fears. Hold on. Hold fast. Don't forget. Remind yourself of this message. Don't let go. You're in shark-infested waters. The world waits. It watches. It's all around you, just waiting for you to let go. Don't let go. This is the only way. You loosen up just a moment. All those sharks are ready to come in and consume you. As soon as you let go of this message, the day will come. Whether it's this day or another, you have to make the choice. Ignore this brilliant and dazzling light. Water, take it, and say, this is mine. Alive, Jesus is risen. Choose to follow him. Don't ignore that light that's shining, brighter than the sun, that you can't ignore. try to blame you for everything. Alive. I am alive in Christ. I am life, real true life, that never fades, because Jesus has won this life. Jesus has won my life. I am his, and he is mine. Let's pray. Lord, remember you. Remember what you did at the cross. You remember that you have won the ultimate victory over sin, over death. This is your message. Let us hold on to it. Let us remember. Let us never forget. Let us hold fast. Hold on. This is the only way forward. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you.